Have someone about to go down in the water in Jesus' name tonight. Thank God for a young man that received the Holy Ghost right over here this morning and then went down in the water and God washed all his sins away. Let's give God a hand praise of worship and lift up a voice. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Glory to God. Precious presence of God in the house. The promise of God is here. Cherish the privilege of being a part of God's people. And on a dreary Sunday night, it is so good to be in the house of God and in the kingdom of God. How wonderful are his ways. Praise God. You've got church family that's scattered all over the place. It's already starting, folks. It's going to keep on until maybe the second week of January. Be in prayer for all these travelers and all of these special activities and all. Tuesday morning, we're going to have a memorial service for little Graham Prince Corey. And it'll be visitation at 10, and the service will be at 11. And I know it's in the middle of a work day for a lot of folks, but the primary thing is just lift them up in prayer. Continue to pray God's strength and blessing on them. And their faith is great. Their testimony is perfect. Their response is perfect. But the pain of that and the valley that you're walking through there, the weight of that is incalculable. But it's so good that God said, take my yoke upon you, and he lifts up on the weight. Isaiah said he bears our griefs and he carries our sorrows. So pray for them. God's word manifest in them, and they'll prosper and they'll do well, and they've made a deposit over on the other side. One more thing to look forward to when we cross over. Somebody say praise the Lord. Are you loving what God's doing? I've been to a lot of places. I've been involved in a lot of activities, but I have never felt anything like this anywhere else in the world. Just whatever man has done and man has built and the outrageous beauty of nature, I tell you, I just have never felt anywhere anything more wonderful and precious than this presence of God right here tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Rally, we're thrilled that you're here. And I enjoyed so much the Word of God this morning. And I made a commitment. I'm going to do something. I'm not going to sit around and wait. I'm going to do something in the kingdom of God. Praise God. And I appreciate the good word. We want you to come tonight. He's got a wonderful revival church. Is it in Apopka or is it in the neighboring municipality? It's in Orange County. Yep. He's been there 20 years, and I love church builders. I love people that go and stay. Go and stay and build and see what God will do. And that's who this man and his wife are. And they are totally devoted and given to the things of God, to building a church in a great city. And I believe they're going to have phenomenal revival there. And we appreciate you so much being with us and taking time out of your schedule and coming to be here with us tonight. I want you to take your liberty. Whatever the Holy Ghost is telling you, you tell us tonight. Praise God. Welcome him as he comes.
Oh, let's give God praise right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost has done some incredible things already. Come on, somebody open your mouth and give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, he alone is worthy. Come on, he alone is worthy of praise on this Sunday evening. Come on, would you praise him? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Also be reading from 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm thankful to be here. What a powerful move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Colin's following after the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. I love his family. Love this church. Thankful for what God is doing here. Amen. And I trust that you glean some things from the word of the Lord today. Amen. God wants to do some things right now. Amen. So God wants to use you right now. Right where you are. Amen, somebody. Say, God wants to use you right now, right where you are. This is the will of God. This is the purpose of God. This is the plan of God. Amen. And I trust that you glean some things. And I really won't preach, but just a few minutes tonight. I do feel very comfortable in being myself and just preaching as though I was home. And I'm thankful for that, and I appreciate that liberty tonight to do that. Amen. Luke chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus was speaking, said, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached." Are you thankful for the kingdom of God? Are you thankful for the preaching of the kingdom of God? Amen. And he says, "And every man presseth into it." And every man presseth into it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Every man presseth into it. The Apostle Peter said, every man hath received the gift. Every man. Amen. I want to preach to you today again, and I preach in series, I preach in thought processes at home, and that's all I can do here again tonight. I'll talk about the will of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God. And I want to preach to you just for a little bit about I was made for this. I was made for this. Amen. If you'll give me just a few minutes, just let me talk to you just a few minutes. I believe the Holy Ghost would just kind of sew all of this up. What a powerful move of the Holy Ghost. Such a great presence of the Lord that is in this house. Amen. Come on, I believe God wants to do something great. Come on, let's thank Him for His word. Come on, somebody give Him some praise. God, we give You praise tonight, Jesus. Come on, somebody give Him praise right now. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord shouts of praise. Come on a rainy Sunday night. Hallelujah. I was made for this, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You could be seated tonight in the presence of the Lord. When you talk about the will of God, and you talk about what the will of God looks like, sometimes people get confused, and they're always looking for the will of God and what is the will of God. And how can I find the will of God? I preached this morning that God is waiting on us. We're not waiting on God. God has commissioned and called us, and there's a work that must be done. And the will of God is more about who you are. I believe that tonight. I believe the will of God is more about who you are than where you are. Because a lot of times people are looking for it and searching, and I want to just be in the will of God. I want the will of God. And the real issue is allowing God to be formed in you and becoming who God has commissioned you to be. If we believe the word of God is true, that God has destined us, God has set a course for us, it is our responsibility to develop and mature in Christ so that we can become everything that he has called us to be. Amen. And so many times I see people waste a lot of time trying to find the will of God whenever they need to be working on their relationship with God and who they are in God. And God always allows things to work into their life according to his plan and to his will. Somebody say amen. And so when we understand that and we begin to think that way, is that God is interested in who I am. God wants me to be the man. God wants me to be the lady that presses in. Every man has received a gift. Every man has to press in to it. Amen. And so when we have to try to wrap our finite minds, our limited finite minds around this, many times the will of God doesn't always make a lot of sense. But God is always at work preparing us to be who he has called us to be. Nothing in your life is by accident. God has allowed you to be born into the family that you're born into for a reason. Raised with the experiences you have had for a reason. Not one event in your life has ever been wasted. God knows where you are. God knows what you're going through. And God has got a destination for you. If you will just hold to the plan and the purposes of God, God's will be played out in your life. Amen. Sometimes people are surprised by the plan God has for them. Amen. You think of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a man that was set in many ways. He thought in his life that he was set to be a philosopher, no doubt. No, he thought that he would be a Pharisee of the Pharisees for the rest of his life. But God had so much more in mind for the Apostle Paul than what he even realized that God was doing in his life. If you look through his life and you see that Paul was a zealous man, Paul was trained in Judaism. He was educated in a highly cultured city, and he had the elite status of a Roman citizen. He was probably from a very wealthy, influential family that would give him the education that he had received and the travel that he had been on. But when you look at that, it seems that everything was set that he would not become the Apostle Paul. But it was all of this that had set him in motion to become the man that God needed to be the greatest missionary in the known world at that time. It was because of everything that he had went through. It was because of his training and all of that. Sometimes we think we have our lives mapped out, but God knows how to orchestrate the steps of a good man, and he leads us. He works in our lives. Amen. Paul became not the most unlikely person to be the greatest missionary of that time, but he was the most likely person to be the greatest missionary in the Roman Empire of that very day. Why was this? Because if you wanted to understand the culture in which the Apostle Paul lived in, it was this. You had to understand three things. You had to understand the Roman government, Jewish religion, and Greek culture. If you wanted to be someone that knew, and this was exactly what the Apostle Paul had been trained in his whole life. While Paul thought he was doing it his way, and while his family thought they were providing for him, for one thing, God was making a way so that he could become the missionary of his day. He understood these things. He understood Roman government. He understood Jewish religion. He understood the Greek culture. Amen. Because it was at this time that Rome ruled the world. The Jewish religion was at the heart of the region where Christianity grew up and was spread in pockets around the entire empire. And the Greek culture had been spread by Alexander the Great, across the entire part of the world to the degree that nearly everyone spoke Greek or understood it. They understood the Greek culture. They understood the Greek language. You say, Brother Riley, why are you saying all of this? I'm saying all of this tonight to say to somebody in this place, you feel like that your life is on a course for one thing, but God has his hand on your life. Everything that has happened up to this point, it's not been wasted, but it's been God's purpose. It's been God's plan. God is orchestrating your life to bring you to a place so that you can be used of him mightily in this time in which we live. Oh, somebody give the Lord some praise right now. Come on, somebody praise him right now. Come on, somebody praise him right now. I'm going to hurry to a close. But I feel like tonight there's people under the sound of my voice. You feel like that your life has been wasted. Your life is not wasted. God has prepared you for a time such as now. Oh, hallelujah. If Saul can become the Apostle Paul, I can tell you tonight that your situation does not make God afraid. God can take you and use you mightily in his kingdom right now. Oh, hallelujah. There's a mighty revival. I said there's a mighty revival. I said there's a mighty revival. Bishop hasn't brought us here just to stop, but this is just the beginning of what God. Come on, this is just the beginning of what God desires to do in this city. We've just begun. I said we've just begun. Thank God for the 30 years. Amen. Thank God for the 30 years. But the 30 years has just, it's just been the steps. It's been the process of where God wants to do. And sometimes when we get to a place in our lives and we feel like, man, we have arrived. We have arrived. This is it. This is incredible. When I look through around this building and I look at the congregation here tonight, it's amazing what God can do. When somebody goes to a city and says, we'll start in a storefront and we'll have church here as long as we can, and then we'll go and we'll go and we'll go until God brings us. Oh, hallelujah. But it's not everything. Everything. I can tell you, there's still a desire within his heart. God, where is the next step? What are we going to do? Where are you taking us? I'm telling you, God is going to use you mightily. Come on, I feel like preaching just a little bit to this assembly. There's no time. There's no time to sit down and get at ease. But this is the greatest day for the church. You need to stand up on your feet and you need to declare, we haven't arrived, but we're on the journey. Oh, come on, somebody praise him. Come on, somebody praise him. Come on, will somebody open their mouth and shout unto the Lord tonight? Man, you can be seated. God made us. God is forming us. Amen. What is the will of God? Where is the will of God? God's will is being formed in your life. Amen. How many men? Paul, the Apostle Paul, isn't the only one. History is filled with stories of those whom God has prepared for a plan long before they even realize what God was doing. Amen. It's incredible to think the journey of all of these things. For Paul to become a missionary in the Roman Empire, he needed everything there to make him as effective as he was in his day. Amen. It caused him to go and become and do because God was forming in him who he was designed to be. God is man's maker. God has designed us. He hasn't just designed us, but he has custom designed us. I'm thankful tonight that we don't live in a world of robots with the same components. He made a world where individuals speak, look different. We're even different colors. He made a world where every single living human being would have his or her own unique fingerprint and DNA. God loves diversity. I said, God loves diversity. He took great care to make a world that he celebrated in its most fantastic form, humanity. We're all different. He did not make you to become somebody else, but he made you just as you are. He wants you to be you. He created you to fulfill a particular place in his will. It's just like a piece of a puzzle. The puzzle fits into one and only one place to complete the picture. God has a way of bringing people together, causing a church to come into existence. And from that, he begins to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Amen. You've got to rest in this, that God knows who you are. And God knows what you've been through. And God did not save you just so that you could be someone that warms a pew and your nose to count on a Sunday. But God saved you for a purpose. God saved you for a reason. God has placed you in this assembly to be a mighty warrior for him right now in this season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, you have been gifted. You have talents and gifts that no one else has. It's your mission to become everything that God has called you to be. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. You need to make sure that everything's right between you and God. You get your relationship right with God and everything will begin to fall in place. Everything will begin to fall in place. God has given to us spiritual gifts. The Apostle Peter said, Every man, amen, he has given to us abilities and talents and spiritual gifts. I'm afraid that too many times we depend on the praise singers and the musicians and the service leaders to praise God for us. But can't nobody praise him like you can praise him. Can't nobody praise him like you can praise him. Thank God for all of the talent that is in this church. But let me tell you something. Before all the talent got here, there were some praisers. There were some worshipers. Come on, we need some people that'll get, say, you know what? I've got some things that I've got to offer to God. I'm not going to wait on somebody to sing for me. I'm going to sing. I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise. Hallelujah. See, all of these things, the painful seasons, amen, all of the things that has happened in your life has been for the purpose that shapes you and guides you to a place of service. Amen. It's been the process. That's the reason that it's so important that we never come to a place that we begin to compare ourselves among ourselves. Because when you compare yourself with somebody else, then you can say, well, you know, I'm doing better than him, or I'm doing better than her. I'm doing better than. You can't get into that thought process. You got to realize that what God has done for you and where God has brought you to and what God has gifted you in, you got to involve yourself in the service of God. You got to involve yourself in the things of God. We don't need people just sitting around waiting for God's will to be manifest. Just become who God has called you to be and the will of God. Amen. Here we are in the middle of a miracle, sitting in a miracle tonight. This is nothing short of a miracle. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord, I know you get tired of hearing it. I know you've been here a couple years and you get tired of hearing it, but you need to look around and say, look what the Lord has done. You ought to walk up and down the halls of this building shouting the praises of God, saying, look what the Lord. Come on, I wish somebody would shout tonight unto God, look what the Lord has done. Come on, we're in a miracle. Amen. But this is where I want to come to. Amen. Musicians, come, give them hope. I'm closing quickly. Amen. I was praying, and I believe that this is something that the Lord has placed in my heart. I've been preaching it to our assembly, and I feel to say it tonight. And Bishop, I fix all this up if it's not right. Amen. So one of the interesting problems of the early church involved people that wanted to leave their occupations to serve the church in the way that the Apostle Paul did. They seen what all he was doing and the miracles and the things and the mighty things that was happening. And it had a certain amount of glamour to it, because they didn't remember the beatings and the shipwrecks and they just seen the pulpit, and they just seen, see, when you're powerfully converted and you're touched by the gospel, the early church, their next logical thought or step they felt would be to enter into full-time ministry. I've been powerfully converted, and man, when you look at this missionary and look what, so I guess the next step for me is to move into this next dimension of ministry. And they worked jobs in their community. They became passionate about the gospel. But they were tempted to leave their lives behind and become something that they was not shaped to become. There was only one Apostle Paul. You couldn't be him. But they felt that maybe this is my calling. They begin to feel that their secular lives and jobs was not important. They wasn't sacred like the job of somebody else. Now, let me say this tonight. There is always a place where God calls people out of congregations to do missions and evangelism. Can the church say amen? Amen. I believe that. But Paul discouraged most people from doing it, because he believed that the gospel would be better served if they stayed in their jobs, continued living in their communities, and put their conversion on display within the context in which they lived and worked. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 7th chapter, verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. If you back up to verse 17, he says, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Paul said, listen, when God saves you, God so powerfully changes your life, there's a world that needs to be reached. There's revival in this city that is mind-blowing. This building is not going to contain. I said this building is not going to contain what God is going to do. So what are you saying, Brother Alley? What are you saying? I'm gonna tell you. And I just gotta say it the way I feel it. But I believe that this is gonna be duplicated on this side of town. And it's gonna be duplicated on this side of town. And it's gonna be duplicated. I need some men, I need some ladies that'll say, God, you called me, you saved me. We're not going to turn them away. We're going to develop another place of worship, and it's going to be duplicated. So this is what I'm saying. This is what Paul was saying. God has assigned you to the place where you are. It is God that made you, and he wants to use you as you are, where you are. I don't know, but I just feel like saying tonight, listen to your bishop. Stay with the church. Plant your feet. Square your shoulders. It might not happen the way you thought it was going to happen, but I promise you, it will happen. This was the secret to the explosive growth of Christianity and the first and second centuries, the early church. I'm telling you that Christianity spread from one end of the empire to the other end and all around. You know why? Because there was somebody that said, God, you saved me, you placed me, you planted me. I'm going to grow where I'm at, and I'm going to be in the ministry, and I'm going to be used of you. See, what happens is you get embedded into where you are, and you affect who you're around. Amen. We need evangelists. We need evangelists to evangelize this city. We need missionaries to be missionaries in this city. Come on, young men. Come on, young men. Come on, young ladies. God, I want you to use me. God, I want to be used of you. Right here, right now is the place and the time. See, there's something about working the same job, shopping in the same place, participating in the same hobbies, living your changed life on display among those who know you best. Look what the Lord, I said, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. I believe there's greatness in this church. I believe there's incredible things happening in this church. I believe tonight that the voices of out there needs to be quieted, and you need to refocus on what God is doing right here, because the best is yet to come. I'm not preaching a sermon from notes, but I'm preaching to you what I feel in the Holy Ghost tonight. It's time for young men and young ladies to plant their feet. It's time for young men and young ladies and adults to plant their feet and say, I am going to be used of God right now, right where I'm at. Hallelujah. Well, let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. Come on, let's worship Him. Hallelujah. There's a cry. There's something going up in this church. Come on. There's a revival that's going to shake the very foundation of Birmingham, Alabama. Thank God for what He's done, but the greater things are yet to come. Somebody needs to declare tonight, I was made for this. I was made for this. I was made for this. My ministry will flourish here now. It's here now. Somebody open your mouth and give God praise. Somebody ought to shout. Somebody ought to dance. Somebody ought to rejoice. Come on, come on, yeah! Hey! Katola lobosi and ahaya, sweep through this house, Holy Ghost. God has made you for a time such as this. And if you want to be right in the middle of what God is doing at New Life, I want you to walk toward the front of this building, lift your hands to the Lord, and say, God, I was made for this. There's not a greener pastor. There's not a better ministry. There's not a greater church. There's not a greater pastoral staff. This is it. This is where I want to be, because I want to be a part of the explosive revival that's coming to this assembly. I don't want to be somewhere else and look back and say, I wish I would have stayed. I'm going to stay. I'm going to plant my roots deep. I'm going to raise my families. I'm going to do what you called me to do right now. I wish somebody would pray in the Holy Ghost. I wish somebody would pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, come on. Stay, stay. I was made for this. I was made for this. Come on, there's nothing greater. This is it. Come on, young men, plant your roots deep. Come on, young ladies. Come on, mom, dad, this is it. There's nothing greater. We'll be right back. Your abilities need to be utilized in this assembly. Come on, come on, tune out the pool. Come on, turn it off. This is it.
If you're not already, lay your hand on somebody. Pray for somebody right now. Let that Holy Ghost flow. Ministry, no greater ministry than right now. Let that Holy Ghost flow. You're a river of living water. You're a wellspring springing up into everlasting life. Yeah. You are the kingdom of God in the earth. You are light. You are salt. You're the bridge. You're the voice. You're his hands.
You're his body. You're his manifestation in the earth.